Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
John chapter 16, reading from verse 16, God's Word says, "A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father." Then said some of his disciples among themselves, "What is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again, a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father?" They said therefore, "What is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith." Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, "Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said?" Jesus goes on, "A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." May God add blessings to the reading of His Word this morning as we continue to look at John chapter 16. We see Jesus giving the disciples an experience. And that's what He's provided for them here, an experience. When we think about that, we have to stop for a moment and think about God's Word and think about our perception of Jesus. Think about our perception of God's Word and think about how we put it into practice. Not everything that we envision about God's Word is true. We have to realize that some of the things that we practice and some of the pictures that we have and some of the things that we do from God's Word, we take those things and we put them into practice because that's what we've always been told, because that's what we've always heard, because that's what the folks down the road do or the folks up the road do, because that's just the way it's always been. And often we do that and we never really dig into it and see exactly what God's Word has to say. The folks that preached it decades ago had great intentions, but sometimes, I'll be honest with you, sometimes they got some of it wrong. The more that we've came up and the more that we've learned and the more things that have been revealed to us, we've seen, and it does happen. Just since 1948, when the Dead Sea Scrolls were found, there have been a lot determined and understood from God's Word that has changed some of the doctrine in the church. What we experience is not always what we envision from God's Word. You see, the disciples walked with Jesus. They lived with Jesus. They talked with Him. They believed that Jesus was there to free Israel from Roman captivity. They believed that Jesus was this military Messiah. They believed that Jesus was going to take care of everything, and now Jesus is talking about going away. We covered that in the last couple of messages. Well, here he's brought it back up again, but now he throws a curveball in there for the disciples. He says, "Not only am I going away, but And not only will you not see me, but you will see me again." And the disciples are sitting there scratching their heads saying, "What is he talking about?" What does he mean? We're not. He's going away, and we're not going to see him, and then we will see him. I don't. They're saying I don't understand, and their confusion is justified. It's justified because Jesus wants them to understand faith. Faith. Jesus is always present in the life of his disciple, but his presence is not always seen. The presence of Jesus in your life is real every day. Every day. But that doesn't mean that his presence is always felt in your life, does it? Have you ever gone through times in life where you just felt like you were all alone, and knowing that you're saved, but Jesus is just not there? And you had to go on and know and realize that just because you didn't see him, just because you didn't feel that presence, you still know, you still knew that he was in control. You still knew that he was there. Faith in itself is sometimes confusing. When Jesus started talking to his disciples in verse 16, and he started describing to them the confusion that was going to come into their life, they just could not grasp it. The confusion that comes into our lives on a daily basis, if we knew about it, what good would it do us? If we knew what tomorrow would hold, what good would it do us? Would we really be able to prepare for it? Or would we just be confused over it? I believe we would just be confused. We would know what was coming, but we still wouldn't know how to prepare, how to deal with it. We would not know what the circumstances are going to be around it. We would not know how we could actually prepare, because we wouldn't know how other people were going to respond and react to it. We would be confused. We need our faith. The disciples needed their faith. The disciples needed to know that Jesus was there, even when he wasn't present. He was there. Our lives, what takes place in our lives moving forward from this moment on, we've got to realize that Jesus is there, and we need to exhibit faith. Faith in him. We exhibit faith in a lot of things. Again, I'll use some pretty popular expressions and illustrations. When you got in your car to come to church this morning, I'll bet you didn't sit down in the car and think, boy, I hope this thing cranks. You sat down in the car with faith that it was going to start. You didn't think about it. You just sat down, put the key in it, and you expected that car to start. And it did, because you're here. When you came into the church and you mulled around, you talked for a few moments and you found a seat, you didn't stop and think about sitting down in the pew and saying, I wonder if this pew is solid. I wonder if it's going to be okay. You didn't stop and think about that. You found where you wanted to sit and you sat down. You had faith that pew was going to be okay. When you are done this morning here at church and we're dismissed, and you go get in your car and you're going to go to lunch, wherever that lunch may be, you're not going to question the safety and the quality of the food. You're going to have faith that it's going to be okay. Tomorrow morning when you get up to go to work, you're going to have faith that your job is going to be there. When it comes payday, you're going to have faith that the money's going to be in the bank. We use faith daily. We use faith in a lot of things in our life. sadly, Jesus very rarely gets the faith that he needs. When life is confusing, when things are difficult, that is when our faith needs to be at its strongest. And that's what Jesus wanted his disciples here to see, and that's what he wants you and I to see today. He wants our faith to be constantly strengthened. The more confusion that we have in our life, the more difficulties that we have in our life, instead of it being difficult, instead of it holding us back, instead of it hurting us and hindering us, it should be building our faith. See, Jesus knew that he was going to be resurrected, and Jesus knew that he was going to be coming back, and they would see him physically again. And he knew that he would be ascended into heaven where he would be at the right hand of God. Jesus knew all of this. But the disciples didn't. And Jesus knew that when he ascended into heaven, their faith had to be strong enough to understand and realize that at that point in time, and when the church, the day of Pentecost was going to come, the Holy Spirit was going to come and birth the church, new, something new was coming down. Something new was starting to take place. And they had to have faith to carry it out. Before the day is out, there is going to be something new, something different in your life that's going to require your faith. It may be something very small, it may be something very big, but there will be something different, something coming up in life that will require you to use your faith. Is your faith strong enough to come through the confusion that's going to come up in life? That's something we need to ask ourselves this morning. And we need to be able to have it answered before we leave, because there is a joy that is coming. A joy that is greater than anything that we experience today. A joy of being in the physical presence of Christ. The rapture of the church is coming. We can prepare for that joy. But what we need to do in the preparation of it is increase our faith. Strengthen our faith. Well, just as there is a confusion in life that provides us an opportunity, there is a coming conflict as well. In verses 20 through 21, Jesus makes known to his disciples that they're going to miss him. And they're going to miss them, and they're going to have a desire for his physical presence. But the world isn't. The world is going to celebrate his departure. The religious crowd, the Pharisees, the scribes, and all those others, they wanted Jesus out of the way. Now, they would have been fine with Jesus if Jesus would have included them in his plans. If Jesus would have came in and he was going to take over and he was going to be Lord and God of everything and he was going to do it and work through the Pharisees would have been fine with every bit of that because they were interested in themselves. They were interested in their impression. They were interested in their influence. And Jesus knew that. That's why he left them out. Because their heart wasn't right. And he made a point of telling them that. And then there was the government. The government didn't want Jesus either. Pontius Pilate struggled with Jesus. Herod struggled with Jesus. The government as a whole struggled with Jesus. They did not know whether to take Jesus as a competitor or as an ally. They didn't have any idea how to handle Jesus. Here was someone who claimed to have a kingdom, to be a king. But that kingdom was not of this world. The government didn't know how to handle that. They wanted rid of this guy. They wanted rid of Jesus. The pagans, those who wanted nothing to do with religion at all, they wanted only their good times. They wanted only fun. They enjoyed their immorality. They enjoyed all of these other things of life. They didn't want anything of Jesus. They didn't want to hear about sin. They didn't want to hear about about there being a penalty, about there being a death. They didn't want to hear about the necessity of being born again. They didn't want to understand any of that. They didn't want to hear it. They wanted rid of Jesus. The only people that wanted him were those who were born again and those of his disciples. Today, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed in the world at all. The government wants Jesus long enough to leverage their directions. There's some religious hierarchies that want Jesus long enough to for their influence, long enough to build them up and make them look good. The world doesn't want Jesus. They don't want to be told of sin. They don't want to be told of the problems that they're bringing upon the world. They don't want to hear about damnation. They don't want to hear about forgiveness of sin and the love of God. The world is no different today. Sin doesn't change. It hasn't changed since Adam's and Eve's failure and fault. Jesus gives an illustration of a mother giving birth. As she waits for the arrival of the child, she experiences pain and trouble and complications and even doubt and fear. But then upon delivery, those emotions that are there, the emotions of love and joy are there, and they overwhelm her, and she welcomes her child into the world. That is the picture of what the disciples are going to feel without the presence of Jesus and with the presence of Jesus. In our lives today, we go through fear. We go through troubles. We go through complications. We go through doubt. We experience pain, emotional pain, spiritual pain, physical pain. We have all of those things in life because of life. But yet, those things are all going to pass away when Jesus calls us up. Yes, there is a conflict that takes place between the Christian and the world. But the Christian has what it takes to overcome that conflict. The Christian has what it takes to come to meet the coming joy and to realize that coming joy is going to be shined forth in our lives. The Christian has that in their life today. Now, I don't know why there seems to be a problem with Christians coming to grips with that and actually living it out. But it seems like the modern church or postmodern church today, I guess I should say, seems to struggle with living discipleship. There can be a long, lengthy discussion about that. And I know that going back historically, you're going to see it repeated over and over and over. It's not new. It's not something that just came out. But it is something that's taking place today. We want Jesus, and we want a point-and-click reply to our prayers. We want Jesus to be answering what we need, but we're not interested in giving thanks to Jesus. We want Jesus to be meeting and serving us, but we certainly don't want to serve Him. See how empty the churches are? But yet, when you go around and you talk to people, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Well, where are you on Sunday? Sunday morning. Where are you on Sunday night? Where are you on Wednesday night? Well, I've got things to do. I've got places to go. I've got people to see. I've got... fill in the blank. It isn't my place or anyone else's to say someone is or is not saved. But I will say this, the Bible plainly teaches you will know a tree by the fruit that it bears. If you walk outside this church and look to your left, there's a little persimmon tree that sits there. That persimmon tree is going to bear persimmons. That's how we know it's a persimmon tree. It's not going to bear apples. It's not going to bear pears. A Christian is going to live a life that is going to be a testimony of their salvation. They may not be able to be in church every time the doors are open. They may not be able to live and be what you may call a textbook Christian. If you can, and if we can do that, we should, certainly should. But if we can't, and God knows that we can't, that doesn't stop us from living a life that is fruitful and living a life that is that shows forth a testimony of who Christ is. It helps us in the coming conflict. It helps us deal with the circumstances and the situations of life. It helps us as we grow in our walk with God, because that joy is coming of knowing Jesus, of seeing Jesus. I wonder, when I hear some people talk, and I hear the language that rolls out of their mouth, the first thing that comes to my mind is, would you talk to your mama with that mouth? And then I think about, what about Jesus? What if someone was on one of those rants and Jesus raptured his church and that person was saved? That was the last testimony, that person had before they left this earth. What does that say about the power of Christ in their life? Yes, we face a conflict every day. A spiritual conflict every day. Do we have faith to guide us through it? Do we learn from it? Do we grow from it? Or do we just simply react to it? Jesus wanted his disciples to grow and to learn, and he wanted their faith to develop and to become stronger and stronger and stronger, because he knew the day was coming. They were going to need that faith. They were going to need the strength that was going to come from that faith, because the conflict was only going to get worse. It wasn't going to get any easier. In our lives, if we start living closer to Jesus, if we start walking closer to Jesus, the conflict in your life is going to get more difficult. I'm not going to sugarcoat that, because the devil is going to come after you with full fury. Your faith, will increase. Your faith will have to increase in order to deal with it, in order to overcome it, in order to work through it. Your faith will increase your prayer life. Your faith will increase your time in God's Word. Your faith will increase to the point of trusting God to get you through these things. The conflict is coming. The conflict is going to get worse, and it's going to get worse, and it's going to get worse. It's not going to get any better. A political party is not going to fix the coming conflicts. It's not. Because God has these conflicts planned. And I'm not talking about military conflicts. I'm talking about something much deeper. The spiritual conflicts that drive these things. These things that are taking place in America and around the world, these aren't the inventions of man. These are spiritual conflicts that are brewing down underneath, and they're coming out through the people that they are being used to make them happen and make them work out. And those conflicts, come into the life of the church. We have an opportunity and a privilege now to pray about getting prepared for them, to pray and to strengthen our faith in the things that it's going to take to be close enough to God to get through them for however long they may last within our life. We may be raptured before we leave this church today. We may not be raptured in my lifetime. I don't know. But what I do know is that with the coming confusion that's in life, there is a coming conflict that's in life, but there's one other thing that's coming along with all of this, and it is a coming celebration. Jesus promises His disciples in verse 22 that He will see them again. And He does through the resurrection. But Jesus also promises you and I that He will see us again through a picture of that resurrection, the rapture of the church. Whether it comes by the grave or whether it comes by the rapture of the church, He will see us again. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Either way, if we are saved, and we know that we are saved this morning, we will see Jesus. We will come into that joy. When you stop and think about that, you stop and think about this passage. It isn't as complicated and confusing as it sounds when you read it. The coming confusion that Jesus spoke of is present in all of our lives today. The conflict that Jesus spoke of is present in all of our lives today. And the celebration that overcomes all of that is present in the life of every believer today. Do we have a desire to worship? To really worship God? Do we spend all of our time focusing on the confusion and on the conflict? Do we spend all of our time looking at those things and letting them control us? If we do, we're focusing on the wrong thing. We should be focusing on the celebration of Jesus having dominion and having control and having a final authority over all of these things. Because He does. If we think about that and we think about Jesus having the authority and the sovereignty that He has to be in control of all of these situations and that He will overcome all of them, He will defeat them. He has defeated them. The victory has been promised. If we stop and we focus on that, if we focus on Jesus and the victory that Jesus has over all of these things, we can't help but fall into a heart of worship. We can't help but get close to Jesus. We can't help but have a passion for serving Him. We can't help but wanting to talk to people about Jesus. Because we know the role that He plays, and we know the end of the story. And the end of the story is Jesus has gained the victory. If Jesus is truly the Lord and Savior of our life, then we should be looking at the end. We should be looking at the end, and we should be letting that end, the victory of that end, guide us. Not the conflicts, not the confusion, not the pain and the travail, not the trouble and the complications, not the doubt and the fear. The victory. The victory. Maybe you're not sure about your salvation. You can be. You can be sure. You can know. And if you do know this morning, and if you are certain, and if you are sure about your salvation, then think about where your life is in regard to that. Does the circumstances and the trials and the tribulations of the world dictate to you how you're going to behave? Do you react to the world? Or do you react to the glory and the power and the authority of God? Do you react to the confusion and the conflict, or do you react to the victory in Jesus? I want to encourage you this morning to let this inspire you to start looking at Jesus. Because He is the one that can bring you through this. Your faith in Him is what will bring you through these things. Your faith in Jesus is what will take you to the end. It is what will get you there as a solid, firm testimony and witness of Christ in your life. When we come down to it, how we live our life isn't based upon our definition of God. It isn't based upon our definition of Christianity. It isn't based upon our definition of Jesus. It's based upon what they say about themselves from this Word, from our Bible. It is based upon God's Word, it is based upon God's will, and it's based upon God's wisdom. And we are called to repent of our sin. We are called to daily repent of where we have failed God. We are called daily to submit ourselves to Jesus and to following Him. And we are called to commit ourselves in His service, to His service. We can build all of the magnificent buildings we want to build. We can put all of the programs out that we want to put out. But if we're not committed to getting the gospel, the truth of the Word of God out into the public and out into those who need it, all of those material things are worthless. What is important is getting God's Word into the hearts of people. And with that comes a responsibility of living it in our lives. Not because we have to. When I say responsibility, I'm not saying that we look at God as saying God's pointing a finger and saying, you will or you'll regret it. There is truth to that statement, but not in forcing us to do something. We have a responsibility out of love. We ought to be loving those that are lost today. We ought to be loving those who need Jesus. We ought to be loving them enough to tell them about it, to live it in our lives so they see the difference that it can make. Live it in our lives so they can see what can happen in their life. And then share it with them. You don't have to know a bunch of Bible. Just tell them what Jesus has done in your life. The difference He's made in your life. What He has helped you through. What your faith in Him has brought you through. And let that touch their hearts and their lives. Let it plant a seed. A seed. That's the commitment. That's the commitment that God needs from the church today. Yes, we will do it or we will regret it, but not because we will take a physical beating for it. We will regret it because we will stand before the Lord at the Bema Seat of Christ. And we will have to answer the question, why? Why? When we're called off of this earth, everything that's left here doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how nice of the homes. It doesn't matter how nice the cars. It doesn't matter how big the bank accounts. It doesn't matter how many titles you had in front of or behind your name. What matters is when you stand before the Lord, does the Lord look at you and say, well done, my good and faithful child? Or does He look at you and ask, why? That is the responsibility or the regret the child of God will have. The responsibility, the regret the unsaved will have, the responsibility is to answer the call of salvation that is placed upon their heart now. to come to Jesus, to ask for forgiveness of sin, to ask Jesus to save their soul. The regret that they would have if they reject and refuse, the regret will be an eternity separated from God, separated in hell. Real regret. Yes, there is responsibility. Yes, there is regret for all of humanity, for every one of us. And we will face it on one side or the other. It is a reality, but there is a joy that can come with serving God if we will humbly follow His Word. This passage gives us something wonderful, something encouraging, something inspiring to hold on to. Let's pray.